as we proceed. Operator Nicola, please could you start the recording and let us know when it starts?
Thank you. The recordings have been started. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And I see that, is that Andrei Kolesnikov that just joined?
That's me.
Andrei. This is the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group call on the 20th of September. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. I will do a roll call. On this call, we have our co-chair, Edmund Chung. We have Rafik Damek, Steve Metalitz, Andrei Kolesnikov, and Owen Smigelski from the working group. And from staff, we have Steve Shang, Dave Piscatello, and Julie Headland. And Edmund, if it's okay with you, perhaps I can turn it over to Steve Shang and he can give us a very brief summary of perhaps what we discussed at the last meeting and maybe set up some thoughts for today's discussion. Thanks. Go ahead, Steve.
Sure. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. In our last call, we spent about 30 minutes wrapping up the discussion on variants. And the kind of where we are at, it seems we arrive at several points. So the first point is that there is really no uniform definition of variants. And so there are different definitions exist. And it's not really the working group's a role or it's to define what is a variant and what is not. Rather, in general, I think the working group acknowledged that the variants can be categorized as, you know, activated variants and reserved variants. So activated variants are the variants of a domain name that are put into the DNS zone file. So, you know, it's resolvable through normal DNS lookup. A reserved variant, a variant, you know, reserved for a specific domain name and cannot be registered, but otherwise are not in the DNS zone file. So I think those are the kind of two categories, and the working group acknowledged that they can take this as given. So for example, you know, some entity defines their policy of what is a reserved variant and what is not, what is an activated variant. And then we take the definition they have as given and discuss some policy around that. So the two things working group has some rough agreement on is a query of the activated variant. That means the variant that is in the DNS should return the whois result of the original domain if it's a variant of. And also indication that the label queried is a variant. And as for the reserved variants, there are two options. One option is we treat the reserved variant the same way as the activated variant in terms of whois. That means when a user queries it, you know, he gets the exact domain. The original domain is a variant of. And the second way to handle that is to produce some sort of message saying this is a variant of certain domain and this is that registrar's variant policy. Edmund suggested that, you know, for this we gave people options and let registrars or registries decide how they want to handle that. So I think that's where we are on variants, pretty much discussion.
This is Julie. Yeah, I want to let you know that Bob Hutchinson has joined. Welcome,
okay.
Bob.
Morning, Bob.
And I would like to ask any questions that Maria
morning.
Provided.
I'm sorry, Julie, is that a question for me or?
No, I was asking the working group members if they had any questions concerning the summary that you just provided.
Okay.
Yes, whose dog is barking? That's the question.
Whoever's dog is barking. Thank you, Andre. Help the dog to be quiet or contribute in a constructive way to the discussion.
Yeah.
Now, my apologies. I thought he was on his way out with my family, so.
That's okay. If you've got any comments concerning variants, they're welcome. Steve, how do you suggest we proceed then with the variants? Is that we pretty much wrapped up the discussion, do you think, so we can move on to some of the other issues?
Yeah, I think so. What I can do, one of the difficulties, we may not have, all the working parties seen the discussion. What I can do is to provide a document specific to variant and send it to the email list. Hopefully we'll get more comment then. But in terms of discussions, maybe now is a good time to move to the email list.
Does anybody have any questions or concerns about that suggestion from Steve?
This is Bob Hutchinson. I would like to have Steve or somebody who's going to send us out make some proposals as to what you mean by not only the variant appears in the DNS, I think that's fairly straightforward, but how it appears in the DNS and how it's treated relative to other names in the same variant sequence. Okay. In other words, do you get when you query for one, you get the fact that it is a variant and a listing of all the other variants of that name, synonyms, I guess we would call them.
Bob, you mean in DNS or in Whois?
In Whois.
Oh, okay. I think I can see what you want is examples. Is that right?
Yes, in order to push the discussion forward quicker. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I can definitely provide some examples. My knowledge is limited to Chinese, though, so that's my limitation. Maybe Andre? Do you want to help on some variants in Russian? Or?
No. Not at all. I'm also not very familiar with this issue because we are straightforward, Greek-like alphabet. It's pretty much like a Latin script, just looks a little bit differently. So
variant
I just really can't help with this one.
Okay, that's fine. Well, thanks for letting me know. All right.
Oh, Edmund, this is Owen. I do know, Steve, this is Owen. There are some variants in German that I'm aware of.
Okay.
That might be able to contribute as examples.
Okay, sure. So maybe, Owen, I will send you, I'll send you something and you can provide some examples in German. That'll be good.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so shall we move on?
Yeah, Steve, this is Julie. Why don't you go ahead and then proceed with the issues perhaps we haven't touched on in sort of the summary of the staff summary document that you provided a few weeks back.
Sure. So we spent the second half of the last time's call going through the document, and we primarily stopped at, I think on page, let me see which page was that. Page 3. We primarily stop on page 3. And the discussion was, I think we spent almost two calls on that. It's basically calling attention that the existing Whois protocol has no mechanism for indicating a preferred character set. for query input and the display of the results of a query. So basically, you know, it does not have, it needs to support internationalized registration data. You know, something needs to be done to the at the protocol level to be able for Whois to support IRD. And, you know, we've been discussing what to do. The original recommendation that was there is, you know, we recommend interested parties to submit a proposal to resolve this issue at the IETF for consideration as a standard track RFC. So as I understand, there are various ways to do that. You know, one way is to simply require, you know, all the Whois input and output to be UTF-8. So that's one option. The other option is to provide some kind of a signaling mechanism in Whois. So, for example, some way for the client to be able to tell the server what encoding I'm going to send the text in, and then, you know, give server the opportunity to say yes, we can accept you know, such encoding, or no, we cannot accept such encoding. So that, you know, that's kind of some kind of a signaling mechanism for Whois. And the last one is really you know, to move beyond the simple Whois. For example, move into protocols like Iris, or more recent ones like RESTful Whois. So those are a couple of options you know, that could be available. I don't know how. One thing I'm not sure is how much does this working group want to do in terms of that issue. So for that, I would like to hear your thoughts. Now, to begin with, will you be comfortable with, you know, what the language currently is in the summary document? That is, basically, the working group's role is to call out this issue and recommend, you know, interest parties to submit a proposal to IETF to resolve this. Is that something you feel comfortable with, or, you know, should we recommend something otherwise?
This is Steve Metalis. Could I just clarify, which document are we referring to? Is this on the wiki? Is this the July 30th working staff summary, or is there a later one?
Yeah, this is Julie, and it is the July 30th document that is on the wiki. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, on page 3, the bottom part, page 3. Any thoughts? No? Okay.
Yes, Steve, this is Bob Hutchinson. It's not clear from this comment whether what you're talking about is the query string for the Whois to begin the Whois conversation. I believe that in some cases today there are parameters in that query string already supported. Is that not correct?
Yes. So in some Whois, the signaling mechanism is done. It's for the client to include a command line. Like sometimes you use -c or -charset. And then specify the encoding.
Yeah.
The problem with that is not all clients honor that.
Right.
So, you know, you have some clients that may support, some clients doesn't. And that also, there's no uniform backend support with server, right? So each, you know, each who is operators can decide their own like signaling mechanism. That, you know, I think that's not where we want to go. I mean, otherwise,
I guess one of my comments here is the use of the term character set. Is that a correct use in your? I mean, are we really referring to a language designation?
Well, character set is really the encoding that is used to represent the characters in a particular language into computer recognizable languages. So, character.
So, UTF-8. Okay.
Yep. UTF-8 will be one.
Okay. So. I guess the way I look at the current standards is that the most obvious thing that we should be looking at is supporting UTF-8 using port 43 on the existing protocols. Okay, and in that case, your mechanism here for a character set would always be UTF-8. Isn't that the correct? And then it goes away.
The problem with that is it's really a political issue. You know, we're talking about a very simple technical way, which I agree with you would solve the majority of the problem. So the issue here is, in GTLDs, probably there will be less of a problem, but in terms of ccTLDs, they really want to decide what encoding they prefer to use. So, for example, in some of the European GTLDs, they don't use UTF-8, and you know, and they will probably continue to use their local encodings. So a solution requiring UTF-8 may work for the GCLDs, but it would have some difficulty in CCTLDs. That's how I understand it. Of course, my understanding could be incorrect.
So this is Dave. I'm not certain that we have any influence over what a client chooses to implement, the only thing I would be careful of is when we talk about this, we're actually talking about imposing a requirement on servers that, at least in the ICANN context, would be offered by ICANN contracted partners, and we would be encouraging others to do that, but we really don't, you know, we can't go to Ubuntu, we can't go to Microsoft or anyone who writes third-party applications and say, here's the convention we want you to impose, no matter what we think is right. Am I correct?
Yes. So Bob, I think if we want to go to the UTF-A route, then maybe the way to go is to go back and go back to IETF and ask them, not ask them, and propose to include that in the WHOIT spec. That will probably have a, you know, because people honor IETF's technical work and have a discussion there, maybe.
I guess I don't see the difficulty in specifying that the encoding has to be in UTF-8 for WHOIS, I just don't see from a technical standpoint or from a political standpoint why anyone cares.
Well, from a technical standpoint, people may not use UTF-8. So are we going to tell them that, I'm sorry, or who is, it's just not going to work? Is that the message we want to tell them? That's the issue, right? Can we go to Microsoft and say, well, you know, no matter what language versions your Windows is in, you know, you have to have UTF-8.
So this isn't Microsoft. This is whoever is writing a Whois server needs to support, as a default, UTF-8.
Right. But again, I mean, this is also an application issue as well, because some of these Whois clients are going to run, you know, on these operating systems like, you know, Microsoft Windows, Ubuntu, you know, various Linux distributions, and they may prefer it to be other than UTF-8.
Well, Steve, this is Dave again. I mean, generally speaking, the clients will implement, implement what the server specifies, because the users will complain that they can't access the servers.
Okay.
So in the typical client server interoperability issue, if a standard set, then the client wants to be as widely usable as possible, then the client application developer typically goes and tries to satisfy the standard. The issue would be whether, you know, if there were conflicting standards. So if ICANN were to say the default is UTF-8, and you can also, you know, and if you can't support UTF-8, the server will roll over on onto ASCII 7, as an example, and somebody else, like some ccTLDs, decided exactly the opposite, we would have a problem.
Yeah.
But trying to lay forward a general convention or a general practice, is something that we can do, and that doesn't necessarily require IETF. I know you don't like that, right?
Doesn't like
that. He doesn't like my proposal. I'm going to go on mute to try to take care of him.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Any other thoughts? Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess that I see limited future. I think Avi pointed out that, you know, tossing this back over the fence to the IETF,
mm-hmm.
when we can solve this ourselves, I don't see that you know, that's a path that is going to bear fruit.
Okay.
Having been involved with the IETF before and the standards setting process there. So I guess I would much prefer to try to solve this at ICANN and under the aegis of fixing internationalized Whois, okay? Rather than, you know, kicking the can down the road. That's my preference anyway.
So what's the proposal?
Servers running UTF-8.
Okay. And is this a written down into contracts?
Maybe the ICANN people can eliminate for us, you know, what is in contracts about Whois today, and any restrictions or implementation language. I thought we had at one point they pulled out a section from a gTLD registry agreement.
Yeah, for registry definitely, but there's nothing for registrar.
Right. And I guess, you know, I don't know, I'd love to hear from the ICANN folks as to, you know, how they view what we're doing and how it would actually get implemented in the different TLDs.
Yeah. Okay.
The server implementations are at the registry level, except for .com. Okay.
Right, except for .com.
Well, this is Steve Metallis. In terms of future registries, there's while the new gTLD process now indicates that there has to be thick whois, and therefore it has to be available at the registry level.
Right.
That doesn't rule out registrars would also have whois obligations. That
yes.
doesn't change the registrar's whois obligations.
Yeah. But the new gTLD definitely make the, you know, reduce the complexity of the problem. But so the remaining complexity is really the .com, which, you know, have a lot of names on it and like 1,000 registrars. Okay. I could ask the ICANN legal and see how they if there's something can be done to move forward. But I'm still weary. Andre, let me ask you a question. Andre, are you still online?
Yeah, I'm here.
For Russia, you use UTF-8, right?
Yes.
Okay. In your experience, do most of the ccTLDs use UTF-8, like in Europe, or, you know, it's just everywhere on the map?
Yeah. What's the question?
So the question is, do you know other ccTLDs that maybe do not use UTF-8?
Well, it depends on what you mean. Use UTF. We use UTF-8 in our daily life.
Right. But as a whois transport.
The whois transport. Let me put it like this: in some versions of the whois transport, UTF-8 is working. In some, not. We tested a few, and I think we found a problem with Solaris support.
Okay.
But we don't use the Cyrillic in the registration data fields,
right.
So we don't have a problem. We have only ASCII.
Okay. So
we plan to move into UTF-8 sometimes. I think when our working group will complete its working. But not today. We decided for at least for a year not to touch it.
Oh, okay. So you're waiting for this working group.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
Right.
I wish other ccTLDs will be
It's a matter. It's a historical matter. I mean, we have 16 years of the .ru with ASCII only, and so. Our market and our, you know, people who register domain, they kind of know, you know, that they use the Latin script, so it's not causing the usage problems so far. Of course, it will be better to use the Cyrillic, but we will wait for a year at least.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Do others have any thoughts on? Okay, so. If we require this for gTLDs, how do we socialize this with ccTLDs?
Well, I guess the other reference point that you know should be sort of included in here is that. The other internationalization CUNY code and everything is all built around UTF-8, so I don't really see why we should entertain other things in whois.
Okay, that's a good thought. Okay, so as a follow-up, I will I would check within ICANN to see how to turn this into a more operationable kind of set of mandates. Any other thoughts on this issue? Okay, that's good. Moving on, let me see what time. Oh, we still have half an hour. Moving on the discussion, it would be very nice if we can have a document together. Going down the second question. So I'm just going to go through that document and see the areas that where we agree, where we haven't reached consensus, and see whether we can push something forward. So the second question is, what is needed for internationalized registration data to accommodate users who want to submit and have registration data displayed in familiar characters from local scripts? And I think regarding this question, the working group members felt that various elements of registration data could be separately internationalized. We talked about the domain name, which is have the IDN requirement, how to display the U label and the A label, and we already solve that. We wrap up the variant discussion. One thing we haven't discussed is the name server names. Currently, all the name server names are in US ASCII 7. However, with the internationalized domain names, it is possible that some will publish their name servers in the IDN U label. So how do we... It's a possibility. I don't know whether that will really happen. But in case it does, how do we want to address that in Whois? This is regarding the name server names. So one way is to always to display it in the A label. The argument that for that is because name server names are mainly for technical consumption, and it will be best, just to have an A label because the DNS only have A label in it. So that's one argument. That's one alternative. The other alternative is to have it displayed both in A label and U label to the extent such information is available. So any thoughts on that? On what we should do?
Well, this is Steve Metallis. What do you think would be the benefit of having it available in the U label? Requiring that it be available in the U
label. Requiring it to be in U label.
As well as A label.
Well, A label is the most natural way, because the name server names are mostly used for technical reasons. For example, make sure it's available. You can do DNS lookups on that and perform technical operations. And since the DNS is only in A label, so it might be good to simply keep it in A label. For U label, I don't know. maybe for user experience reasons. But again, I think it's personally, I think it's this field is mostly used for technical reasons. So there may not be a much benefit to put it in ULabel as opposed to like the domain name, which has a lot of benefit.
Well, unless we can identify some benefit to requiring that it be in ULabel, then perhaps our recommendation should be that it always be displayed in ALabel.
Okay. Do others have thoughts?
Yeah, since it's pretty much trivial to do it both ways, when you have a XN-A label, why would we not want it in parentheses displayed in its ULabel format? I can see it for things that are not Unicoded, but I do think for readability, if somebody puts a server name in internationalized domain character, I guess my take is that eventually there will be a standard format that people will display both the A-label form and the U-label form in parallel to each other, because everybody's going to have this question everywhere internationalized domain names are displayed. I mean, it's not just a who is question. It's a general question about how internationalized labels should be displayed in general. And I don't know if Tina Dam and the people who've been working in this area have some preferred forms that they believe should be used for displaying this stuff.
Okay, that's a good thought. So Andrew, what you're suggesting is to place the U label alongside with the A label. And you also suggest about Tina Dam. And maybe I can also ask her to see what she thinks.
I mean, considering everybody in the world is going to have to scratch their head over this, it seems like ICANN, since they put together this standard, should have a preferred way of displaying internationalized domain names when they're presented to the user.
Okay.
This is Jian Kang Yao. I personally agree with there should display both the U-label and A-label for name server, because U-label is friendly to the internet users. So the SN-dash is not friendly to the people, internet user. A-label is we must put into the for configuration name server for DNS to use. So we think that we should put both, one for internet user, one for DNS. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other thoughts? So it seems we are, people are thinking about, displaying both U-label and A-label for name server names. That's perfectly fine and good. Okay, so I will take the note for this. The next element, so we talk about domain names. That already have a standard. The name servers seem to agree on both to display both A label and U label alongside with it. For sponsoring registrar, this was the original discussion that some thought that this is a good example of data that should always be available in ASCII to aid investigation purposes of law enforcement and optionally make it available in local language and scripts. So what this is, always requiring US ASCII for sponsoring registrar. But if registrars want to provide, they can also provide it in their local language and scripts. Okay. What do people think?
This is Steve Metallitz. I think this makes sense as we have previously discussed.
Yep.
And I would just note that there's a new registrar accreditation application that was just posted last week, and it instructs the people who are applying to be accredited as registrars that if they have any legal name, street, electronic, or mailing address which is not in Latin characters, please specify and also provide a transliteration in Latin characters. So.
Okay.
This is something that anyone who wants to be a registrar has to be able to provide this.
Okay, and so they should display that in
right.
Whois as well. Okay, sounds good. Any other thoughts on this point? Okay, we've talked about the telephone and fax. That is to use the UPU E123 standard. That's good. Email address. We talk about using RFC 5335 as a basis for internationalization. That means people could put internationalized email address in that. I think since Jian Kang is an expert in this area, Jian Kang, I was wondering if you could brief us on the status of that standard track for the internationalization of email addresses.
I'm familiar with this issue because I'm a EI working group secretary. Currently, the we have most three important RFCs that will go to standard track, and the first is 4952 is framework. It is a framework now is in IESC last core. I think in one month maybe we'll go into RFC editor for publication. Then in after two months or 3 months, there will RFC 5335 bits and RFC 5336 bits. So there's email header, EI header, and EI SMTP for IESC. Then we will going to RFC publication. I think these three documents for standard track will be finished during the end of this at the end of this year. So I think the standard track will come to soon.
Okay, sounds good. I think once it's standardized and used, there's no reason for us not to to use it, update the standard, to put it use in Whois. Okay, so that's kind of an update from discussion. there are two remaining items that that we have not discussed. The first thing is registration status. So, for example, you know, registrars and registries often provide status of the registration. You know, client hold, delete prohibited, update prohibited. You know, these status. Now, the question is, should these be internationalized, or should they always remain in U.S. ASCII 7? There are a couple of options. One is to always leave it in U.S. ASCII 7. The second is always publish the exact EPP status code and leave it to the clients to decide whether to localize it or not. So it's, you know, different clients in different languages have different translations for that. So leave it for the client to decide. The third option is to identify a more easily understood representation for, you know, for example, in a mandatory character set. And the fourth is, you know, publish the easily understood representation in mandatory and local character sets, or could be any combination of these approaches. So what does the working group think?
This is Steve Metallitz. My question is, could you explain what is the exact EPP status code? Is that something that is currently in ASCII 7, or what is that?
I think Edmund will probably be the best person to for that. The EPP status code is really a set of It also depends on how registries implement them. So, for example, in the registry's own database, they usually represent each status in a code, you know, as a 2-bit mask code, so that they can be combined. But what is usually displayed is a ASCII string, for example, you know, client delete prohibited, you know, client hold server. You know, server delete prohibited, something like that. So to answer your question, is there a uniform code? I'm not aware of that. The way it's represented is currently is a ASCII string.
This is Edmund. I sort of heard my name and I tried to follow the discussion. I'm sorry. I think that it's in the RFCs, the set of statuses that are standard in the EPP.
Right, but the question is, do each one has a code? So, for example, is there a numerical code associated with each status? I guess that's the question.
Is there a numeric code?
I think that's
why is that?
Go ahead.
Well, why is that a? Oh, so that when it gets translated, so different languages, you could at least hold on to the code. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I can probably look into the RFCs and see if it provides a code or just the textual string.
I think it's just a text string. Let me but even if it's the text string, we can always publish exactly as what the RFC says, and then, you know, if a client wants to localize it, then they could just refer to the RFC and always match that. So it doesn't have to be a numeric code. Even if it's a, you know, ASCII string that pretends with RFC, then, you know, it's all right. Yeah, I don't see it in the AR EPP.
So then where would that leave option two?
Yeah, so maybe the option two should be rewrite is always publish the exact EPP status. delete the word code.
So that would always be in ASCII, but
yeah, always in ASCII.
Up to the
client to decide whether to localize it or not.
Hello.
I'm almost done here.
You're almost done here?
Yeah.
We're throwing you out.
Yeah, you are. I'll be about to be thrown out of the room, so. So do others have some thoughts on this issue? Which option do we want to choose? So I think the options are, you know, always to, one is to always to publish the exact EPP status and leave it to the clients to decide whether to localize it or not. Or is to just to identify a more easily understood representation and recommend that. Any thoughts? For the new GTLDs, I think they require to always put into the exact EPP code.
Yeah, I would prefer to see us adopt whatever they're specifying, if they are specifying something in the new GTLD process, but it seems most logical to specify the codes and specify their representation. But
the code and representation. You mean the code means a numerical code?
Well, so for example, you have client hold, delete, prohibited. You know, mm-hmm. We have a bunch of different statuses. Okay, so specifying a list of the statuses and what they're coding is seems like the easiest, most straightforward way for everybody here.
Coding means like a set of numerical codes, or just I'm trying to understand
whatever coding is decided on. I don't know what you say that there is something already in the new GTLD standards.
The new GTLD standard asks the WHOIS to publish the status code exactly the same way as it is appear in the EPP. So that's what the new GTLD asks. So you just have client, you know, delete prohibited, like in one word.
I see. So they're just string codes at this point.
Yeah, it's all string codes. There's no numeric codes.
Okay. So then I think we just should use that. And you know, the question is whether you want to try to internationalize it. I don't know. Is it, can we hear from somebody, Jing, or somebody from a language that this might not be friendly to leave in English representation? Do they really want this internationalized? If they really want it internationalized, then we will have to figure out a way to internationalize it. To me, it's a field that I don't see a great deal of benefit because it has to be interpreted globally, and it's more a data processing field than a user consumed field. But I mean, that's my take, but maybe that's wrong.
Okay, that's a good thought. I think I'm done with this room here. So, Julie, can you take over? I have to be drop off the call soon.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. I think we'll go ahead and schedule another call in 2 weeks, and Steve can send around some notes from this call. And thank you all for joining us. And if there is no other business, I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll
thank
talk
you.
In 2 weeks. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.